Z1077 welcomes you to Up Close, a weekly public affairs program presented by Z1077 News. You're invited to call in with your questions and comments. Our call-in number is 366-8471. Now, your host for Up Close, Gary Danielle.
Thank you, mystery announcer, wherever you are, and welcome to the Z1077 Up Close Show on this bright and brisk Friday, December 8th, 2023. I'm Gary Danielle, your host. Our producer is Michelle Alley, and our phone number for you to participate is 760-366-8471. Our guests in studio today, Mayor MacArthur Wright of the City of 29 Palms and City Manager Larry Bowden. And MacArthur, do I just call you Mac?
Yeah.
Okay. Call me anything, just don't call me late for dinner, right? Yeah.
That's right.
Anyway, Mac, welcome so much. I've had you on the show before, but it's been a couple of years, so nice to cap it. And you look awfully familiar, Mr. Bowden.
Yeah, I've been around here for a while.
You have been. Anyway, welcome to the Z1077 Up Close Show. I do appreciate it. Before we get started in what's happening with the city, let's do a little introduction of you. Larry, tell us about yourself. How long have you been in the area, and where'd you come from?
Well, I'm a Razorback from Arkansas, but we moved here. My dad was a Marine because my little brother had asthma in 1966. So that's 57 years ago.
A long time ago, yeah.
Or more, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I'm old now.
Okay.
And
you have a unique relationship with the city of 29 Palms. Let's kind of track that a little bit. When did you start working with the city?
92.
And you were working with the recreation department?
I was a recreation part-time coordinator.
Okay, part-time recreation coordinator.
You were allowed to run for the city council if you worked for the organization at the time. I did. I was elected. I went through the council member. I was then the mayor pro tem and then the mayor. And then I didn't rerun.
So you did one term?
One term, uh-huh. And then it was against the law to do what I did.
Yeah, the state changed the law where an employee right. of a municipality couldn't be one of the people making the decisions for the municipality, so you had to adjust accordingly.
Of course, but I wouldn't have run anyway.
Yeah.
One time was enough for me.
That was enough for you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And then you continued with the city.
I worked my way up to, supervisor, superintendent, and then I was the acting city manager. You're acting when you are a city employee. I did that for 9 months, and then when they hired Frank Lucchino, they asked me if I would be the assistant city manager, which I didn't really want to do, but they talked me into it. And then I retired after that. So.
And now you're back in the saddle
and
again.
And now I have a new title. I'm the interim city manager. So.
So you've been involved with the city since the early 90s.
Right, 92, 90, yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, welcome. We appreciate it, Larry, and we appreciate your sharing your knowledge and your unique experience to make the city a better place.
Thank you.
Mac?
Yes.
Tell us about yourself. Where are you from?
Well, originally from...
He's from Arkansas.
I'm originally from South Carolina.
Okay.
The Marine Corps brought me here to 29 Palms in 2002, and my wife and I decided to make 29 our home, where we stayed, and I got involved in city government in 2014, and I've been on the city council ever since. This is my second time being mayor. I thoroughly enjoy it. I really do love this community. I love 29 Palms and you know, just the tight-knit that it is. And so it's just been great. My family now lives in Oklahoma City, so that's where we go when we go visit. But still, every time I go somewhere, I miss 29 Palms.
So back in 2002, you decided that this is where you wanted to stay when you got out of the Marine Corps.
Not until 2005.
2005, okay.
Yeah.
What made you make that decision? What about 29 Palms that made you and your wife make the decision to make this your home?
It was a number of things, but mainly because we always, when we said that I was going to retire from the Marine Corps, we wanted to be close to a base. We wanted to be in a town, not a city, not a big city like New York or anything like that. We wanted the small town feel. And we were pretty active in the community already, and we were involved in a ministry. And so when I retired, we thought about going back to North Carolina, going back to South Carolina, going to Oklahoma City, and we just never, my wife and I never agreed. And then one day we both looked at each other and was like, we're just going to stay here. And so we decided to stay here because we like the community.
It's always nice when you agree on something.
Yes.
Anyway, welcome to 29 Palms. The 29 Palms is maturing. I remember, I think it was back in 85? What did they incorporate? Am I close?
87.
Okay, back in 87. I remember because I was working at the other radio stations in town at the time, and I remember following this very, very close election. And I believe 29 Palms is incorporated with a majority of 12 votes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I wasn't one of them.
Larry wasn't one of them. But it is what it is. But the city's really come a long way. I remember one of the biggest problems the city had when it formed was they were actually inheriting all the stuff from the county, which didn't necessarily work for the city. I remember where City Hall now, well, it used to be the sheriff's office, and the jail was there.
And the courthouse.
And the courthouse, the jail, and the sheriff were all where the city hall is now. Yeah. And now it's a modern, nice, you have done a good job of reusing that space. But when are we going to get a new city hall? I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Just have
you go, what?
It's been talked about very little. It's been talked about, but you know, in my opinion, being I've been here the longest, I'll say, it's still functional. Okay. And we did just remodel the planning department next door where the dentist used to be. It's a lot better access for people. It's got planning and code enforcement. And so it's very nice, that building.
So you're expanding the footprint of the city in that area. So,
we did.
Yeah, I guess it comes back to if it works, why fix it?
Well, it's a little lonelier in City Hall because there was 9 people that moved over into the planning department that were in City Hall before. So we have a lot of room for expansion, and we're going to do a little bit of remodeling in that part now.
Okay, are you moving another department or just going to get that more functional?
We need another office space for like our IT guy. He kind of keeps things at Public Works, and it's just going to work out the way it is. It's right next to his cabinet where he keeps all his IT equipment.
A city of 29 Palms has undergone a bit of a renaissance over the last 3 years. I've seen all kinds of new businesses. I mean, interesting, exciting new businesses. The town, which was looking pretty poor a few years ago, is starting to look revitalized. There's new businesses on the highway. There's new energy. What caused all that, Mac? Why is 29 Palms sort of coming out of a deep sleep?
I think a lot of it has to do with Freedom Plaza. Getting Freedom Plaza up and open and you know, directing a lot of events and things downtown 29. And I think people are starting to see that 29 Palms really is a gym, you know, and it's a place that they want to be, and businesses are coming. So I think, but a lot of it, I think, has to do with Freedom Plaza and us opening that and being able to bring that to the city.
Now, you were involved in that project quite a bit. If you're at your second term now, so you've been involved in a lot of that. What was the hardest thing about getting that thing up and built? I know sometimes it's very difficult to put all those final pieces together, but you guys did it. What was the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge was getting the money, you know, because the biggest fight they did before I got on, or right before I got on the council, was getting that money back from the state. And then, of course, you know, all the other money that we got.
Oh, the redevelopment money.
Yeah, redevelopment money. Yeah. And then all the other money that we got to actually make the program or make it come to fruition, you know, that took a lot. We had to continuously, you know, just redo stuff and kind of make sure that our planning was on point when we did everything. But I just never wavered in my faith, and I believed that we was going to do it, and we did. So,
And I think, Larry, as a longtime resident, if you agree, that is a transformational project for the city.
You know what? I'll agree about the tree lighting just last week. It was a comeback. Everybody was happy. There was 2,000 people there. I had somebody give me a great estimate on that.
I think I know that person.
Yeah. Yes, I think you do. And, man, it was my wife said, this is nostalgic, except it could have never been this big because of Freedom Plaza. And, it was I'm going to say it, and this will sound stupid coming from me, it was a heartwarming event.
Well, good. Well, so, it was, yeah. You got a lot of community pride out there. It was nice seeing everybody back together and talking. It was a very, very good event. And pat on the back to your park and recreation folks who put that together. I know they worked pretty hard. Freedom Plaza is a transformational project for the city of Twin Palms, but you've got some other things you've accomplished recently, and that's moving on. Give us a list of the things that we've seen in our city.
Well, you mentioned one, you know, all of the new businesses that are been coming, and, you know, we got, I guess, one of the biggest ones is Taco Bell. So eventually we're going to be doing a ribbon cutting there. And a lot of people may not know, but there's a business on 62. It's called 62 Corner, I think.
Corner 62.
Yeah. And there are a lot of businesses in
there. I was just there yesterday. They've done a great job.
Yes. And those businesses are open, and we've done ribbon cuttings for all of them, and it's been fantastic. So I think, you know, that's one of the biggest things. And then, of course, we got the Channel Trail, that walking trail that we had, that's been opened. We finally got that project completed. Everybody knows about Lucky Park Pool. That's, you know, been one of the greatest things. And I always tell people, yes, I tested the slide, and it works. It's great. It was fantastic.
Well, if it can take Mac, then anybody can.
If it can take me, because I believe I was one of the heaviest persons out there.
You're the tester.
Yes. So that was great as well, you know, getting that project up. And the first weekend it was open, I mean, it was packed, jam-packed with people. And I got a chance to go. I took my son and my granddaughter to the pool. And I was actually most impressed with how Park and Rec had the lifeguards performing, because they had a system, and I was paying attention to it. And it was just amazing how organized it was, and you know, that showed me that our city really takes everything seriously. But so, and that was great.
And shortly after it opened, in after hours, the Theater 29 rented it for a private party and invited all of our volunteers. We had a volunteer appreciation swim party down at Lucky Park. It was great.
Great.
So think about that if you've got an organization. It's easy to do. We get that same professionalism from the lifeguards and the staff, so that's nice. Any other accomplishments you want to crow about a little bit, Mac?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Safe Routes to School projects. It enhances the safe pedestrian travel to and from school. Curb gutters and sidewalks on El Paseo and Oasis Elementary. If you went by there, you may have seen that. And 2 Mile for travel to 29 Palms Elementary and the Junior High. So we got overhead flashing pedestrian lights and crosswalk enhancements at 2 Mile Road and Lucky Park Avenue, where a lot of children, you know, they cross to and from schools to Lucky Park.
And that's been a project that's been ongoing.
Yes, ongoing. Okay. And I'm still petitioning to get that route down Mesquite Springs. Just throwing that out.
Do you know a guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, might help you out. We're going to take a quick little break. We'll be back with more of the Z107.7 Up Close Show. My guest in studio today is 29 Palms Mayor MacArthur Wright and Interim City Manager Larry Bowden. I'm Gary Dineau. Our producer is Michelle Alley, and we'll be right back.
treat your taste buds to the King's Hawaiian Pork and Slaw Sandwich, back for a limited time at Firehouse Subs. Slow-smoked pulled pork, melted pepper jack cheese, and sweet and tangy slaw on a toasted King's Hawaiian roll. Make it a meal by pairing it with their new Tropical Cherry Limeade, a blend of pineapple and cherry with a squeeze of fresh lime. At Firehouse Subs, a portion of every purchase helps provide much-needed life-saving equipment to first responders across the country. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. In the Home Depot Center, Yucca Valley.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, all children ages 6 months and older should be vaccinated for the flu. Younger children are at high risk of developing serious flu-related complications such as pneumonia and dehydration. The most effective way to protect your child against the flu is to get a vaccine. Call the Morongo Basin Community Health Center today to schedule an appointment. 760-365-9305. Morongo Basin Community Health Center, a program of Morongo Basin Healthcare District.
It is 10:22, and we're back with the Z1077 Up Close Show. I'm Gary Danielle, your host. Our producer is Michelle Alley. Our phone number for you to call and participate, 760-366-8471. And our guest in studio today is Mayor MacArthur Wright. We just call him Mac. And Interim City Manager Larry Bowden. We just call him Larry Bowden. So there we go.
You've called me other things.
I have other things, always with a smile on my face. I want to come back, loop back a little bit. We talked about the new businesses that are in downtown. I love that. The new clothing shop, Donalou's, they've just done a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice seeing one of the new businesses sponsor a major event in the city. That means they're getting more and more involved, and people are supporting it, so it worked great. But I think there's a misnomer out there. I've heard people say that it's so hard to get a business open. The city of Twin Plums is so hard to get. They make you do this and they do that. That's not really true. What is the process? If I decide I want to open a business in Twin Plums, what is my process with the city? What do I have to go to you guys to get?
Yeah, I'm going to turn that one over to Larry.
Okay. Well, actually, I think it's pretty easy to get in business in 29 Palms, but there are requirements. You know, you have to have a seller's permit. You have to have a building. And sometimes if you're going to make improvements or open a restaurant or something that way, the county has to be involved. Get a building permit if you're doing a lot of changeovers inside the building. You know, it's just to make it safe, but I think it's pretty easy. Find the right building. And one of the things about 29 Palms is it's going to be small businesses that come to 29 Palms. People say we keep the big stores out, but in reality, living here for as long as I have and watching it, the big stores, they do their research, and they will head to Yucca Valley because we will drive to Yucca Valley. People from Yucca Valley will not drive here to Yucca, to 29. So our future is small businesses, and we have all the information they need. They can come in. Some people don't come in first. Some people come in later, and then it does make it a little bit harder. But, you know, we stress. People say, oh, yeah, right. Customer service is big in the city. And we try to help people, and sometimes they just don't agree with what the rules are, and they're not all ours. Some of them are county or even state.
So it's not necessarily you deciding who can come in or come out. It's you making sure that person is living up to the legal requirements. I mean, if you've got a liquor store, you have to have a liquor license. You know, and you said mention the county. I know people always talk about how difficult it is to open a restaurant. Mm. That's all county.
That is all county, and it is all backlogged.
Yeah, they have very, very strict requirements. And if you think about it, the reason for that is somebody gets sick or dies.
It's health.
The county's the one that's going to get sued, because they're the one who are responsible for making sure that food that you're getting is clean, and you're eating it from clean utensils, and everybody is safe. So it's not necessarily difficult to open a business in the city of Twin Palms. And as Larry said, the city staff wants to be customer friendly. They're going to help you with that, but there are requirements.
There are.
Yeah, I mean, if you're putting a business in a building that was built for something else, then you have to get a conditional use permit to make sure.
Sometimes you have to get a conditional use permit.
Yeah.
Not always. You know, there's a lot that you can come in where someone just left that was a similar business that was approved.
Yeah, so it's not an onerous process.
No, and we will actually, if you come in beforehand, we will sit down and talk to you and give you the list of everything you need to do. And those people seem to have smooth sailing.
Yeah, because they know what the what the points are that they have to meet before they can open.
Exactly.
This Twin Palms is continuing to grow, not fast but steady. It's nice seeing the revitalization of downtown. What are the city's priorities? I know I attended a strategic planning meeting a few months ago with the city, and they determined their top priority at that time was going to be a new animal control facility. What is the status now of that project?
Yeah, that's another Larry one.
That's another Larry one?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the status of that project? Mac mentioned that the hardest part about opening Freedom Plaza was getting the money. So that's going to be a challenge.
That's going to be the big challenge. And we've actually contracted with architectural firm that is the leader in animal shelters. And one of the things that they identify is that it's a holistic approach, actually, to a building a shelter. You need to make it more friendly for the animals. You need to make it more friendly for the people that enter and come in to meet and greet the animals they're going to adopt. And they say they get you a 50% adoption rate higher. Ours right now is good. We do about 50 a month. We take a lot in, though, because people abandon them. And it just gives a better atmosphere, the way that they construct it. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of community involvement. We're going to kick off with events in January. We want to start because funding source is a major, major issue. So we want to, if we can't get a lot of great community involvement, it'll be tough. But everybody loves animals, and they need a home. People on general look at animal shelters like the Twin M Palms Animal Shelter. Some people look at them as damaged or bad goods, and they're not. Our adoption rate is over 95%. Once they take the animal, they keep it. Sometimes they have to bring them back because they don't get along with other animals in the house. But, you know, it's really, it's kind of a emotional thing. And the guy that's put it together, Eli, he's really into making this happen. And we got to get a lot of help, though.
And I understand they're going to be in a different location than they are now.
They are. They're going to be right back up behind, right off of Adobe Road, behind Theater 29 is the spot that we at this time have picked out for it.
So the Pioneer Park project is going to go in a different direction. Rather than having an open park there, you're going to have the animal shelter. And I know Mojave Land is moving their art installation. It's actually a miniature golf course. It's pretty cool how they do that. They ask artists come in, and the artists build the holes, and then people come in and play miniature golf, and it's free. They're on grants. So you'll have that whole complex there. Is there a timeline for the animal shelter, or does that depend on whether the money comes in?
It's all about funding.
Yeah.
It is, truly. Our other animal shelter has been there forever, and it is past its time. We're putting some money in there because it will take probably a couple of years. You can't put anything together right away.
And the existing animal shelter has been there for forever.
I can't even recall if we built that. I guess the city built it. It's right next to Public Works, but I can't even recall. It's been there since pretty much the city incorporated.
And it was outgrown about 20 years ago.
It was. It was. And we put a lot, you know, we've done a lot of remodel on it, but it's by the nature of what it is, it wears down.
So animal shelter was determined to be one of the top priorities for the city for planning in the future. What are the other priorities? What's the city looking at down the road as facilities for the residents?
Well, that could be a good question, Gary, because I'll tell you truthfully, we just finished up Project Phoenix just this last year, the swimming pool. We focused on that, but there is on the agenda Tuesday night, there is the sewer wastewater treatment facility.
Where do we stand with the sewer system at this point? I know there was some questions about the location of the plant. Some neighbors weren't happy about that. I'm not quite sure whether there has been some concessions made or some changes made. What's the status right now of that proposed system? And I know you're talking about it this coming Tuesday, so, yeah.
At the direction of the council at the last meeting, they asked for us to check on two alternate sites, three actually. But one of them was so far, the consultant said, let's not bother. It would put us below the amount of hookups that we could get because of the cost. So they wanted to know the cost of the project, and they wanted to know the cost of the annual maintenance. And that is what the staff report is. I think it's out today. I think it's out now. Yes, it is.
Yes.
And all the information's on that.
Now, my understanding is that basically the farther away the plant is, the more it's going to cost.
Actually, they made all three sites come in at $52 million.
Okay.
And the city is going to, the grant that we can receive from the state is $49 million. They say $50 million, but they already took $1 million for the planning that we put into it. And then, though, that's hard cost only. The soft costs are what are identified in the staff report, project management, tribal inspectors, regular inspectors. There's a lot added on to the cost. Their cost was just to get it up and get the connections. How they kept them all the same price is the further away it was, the less connections there were.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. We're required by the state to have 383, and the lowest one was 393, and the highest was 417. I don't have it in front of me, but I think that's what it was, 417.
Now, when the wastewater treatment facility was first discussed, a couple of the council members said, you know, we want to put this together in such a way where none of the people have to pay for it. How is that going to work?
That's a
I believe it was you who said that.
Yes, Mac. That was one of the biggest things, and it was because of having the opportunity to see what Yucca Valley went through. And how their residents, you know, had to pay twice, basically. And so it's always the desire to where if we could get the sewer system put in to where it wouldn't cost any of the residents as far as getting it in. They still going to have to pay for actual monthly
the hookup services. And the service, yes. Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, to eliminate as much of the first part as possible is always the goal. Because so our residents.
So the less money you have to borrow, the less you have to spread out amongst the tax base.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yearly operational costs. But one of the things, Gary, is when this all started, we were told that it was a possible $180 to $170 right. million. Dollars. And then about in the middle of July, 1st of August, we were told it'll be no more than $75 million. And then in October, just before I started hanging out at City Hall, we were told it would be $50
million. Yes.
So there's some problems.
So they you made your initial plans, including no charge for anybody, based on the $175 million grant, which has now gone down to $50 million.
Yes.
And actually, we were really more realistic than that. We were pretty much based on $75 million for our first phase of it.
Any projections on the sewer system as far as timeline?
I think everything's going to depend on Tuesday night, Gary.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
Okay, so go to your city council meeting on Tuesday night if you want to find out what's going on. Do you get good attendance at your meetings? I've been to a few of them, but when they scrape the bottom of the barrel here and need an extra reporter, sometimes I'll cover them, but it seems pretty well attended.
Yeah, I think this entire year they've been pretty well attended, and I think a lot of it has to do with what we've had on the agenda. A lot of it's been sewer, our Airbnb, and things like that. You know, citizens are concerned, and they want to voice their opinion. So they've been pretty well attended, and we've had some long nights.
There has been a lot of interest, of course, in the regulation of vacation home rentals, Airbnbs. Where do those regulations stand now? I know you've had a couple meetings to adjust things as you learn more about the business and the effect it has on the economy. But where do we stand right now with vacation home rentals? How many are allowed in the city of 29 Palms?
Yeah, so as far as the actual codes and things, we sent it back to Planning Commission with some recommended changes as far as what they brought to us at the last council meeting. So we're waiting for that to come back to us. And then Larry can give us the numbers.
Right. The number at this time is 500 with a waiting list of 25. We're a total of 525. Right now, we're at 454.
So
we've dropped.
Okay, we've dropped. And I think I mentioned this with Don Rao last week, and the county's seeing the same thing. What is happening now is the economy is changing a little bit, that the pendulum swings. We have this big swing where property prices went way up, and a lot of people were coming in investing in the desert. Now it seems to be going back, and a lot of those homes that were developed as a vacation home rental are now going back on the market as available single-family housing. Are you seeing that at City Hall?
We are.
Yeah.
We are. And, you know, it's what does your vacation rental offer? That's what it is. If you have great views or where a nice neighborhood, there's still some, a lot of them are still doing well, but some of them that don't aren't quite out there in the forefront of a great place or just something unique. They're about being unique.
I was talking to a friend of mine who has, I think, five Airbnbs in the city of 29 Palms. He told me the same thing. He says, well, I'm going to sell this one and this one, but the way it is now, people are looking for something that's got a little quirk, got a little special thing.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily want to rent a house in the middle of a neighborhood with kids playing in the yard, and you know they're looking for that little special thing. So one of the things that David Smith used to tell me, the former superintendent of Joshua Tree National Park, when I'd say, well, you know, what can we do to support you? And he says, get us more camping. And I know at one time the tribe was talking about putting a KOA type of campground up on that, right next to the reservation there. Is that coming up? Is that still bubbling around? Have you guys heard about that? Or
I haven't heard anything.
No. I haven't heard.
Okay. The next thing is there was also plans for a tribal-run gas station at Utah Trail and Highway 62. What was the status of that project?
Same thing.
I know that they own all the properties now.
Yeah. And I know that they had asked for permission, and the city was not happy about it, and they wrote a letter in opposal, but I think that the Bureau of Indian Affairs, who makes those decisions, have said, "Yep, that's tribal property."
Exactly.
Yeah,
and they can.
Yeah.
We could write anything we want, but it's their land, and
right.
they have a different right.
Yeah. Any other things that are hot right now? I know we talked about vacation home rentals. I know there's also been a lot of talk about homelessness and homelessness services. Can you tell us what's going on with that?
We have a few programs that are still working. Arch has been doing very well as far as helping the homeless, and especially when we've been having disasters and things like that, assisting us in, you know, making sure that they have shelter during those storms and stuff. And then, of course, we have Set Free Ministries is trying to do what they are calling a ranch. And that ranch is going to be where they can house people that need to be rehabilitated from drugs and alcohol and things like that. I'm not sure where they are in the process, but they're still trying to get that up and off the ground.
And now, Morongo Basin Arch actually operates a couple of housing facilities for homeless in 29 Palms. How many houses do they have? Do you know?
I believe three.
Two or three.
I think one. Yeah,
I know they have a women's, and then they have a men's, And I think they have a third one, but I'm not sure.
They've been trying to establish what's called a navigation center. And the city allocated, and it's still in the fund, $30,000 to help them get this building. And the building they wanted that was going to be leased, the owner decided they wanted to sell it. So we're looking for that, but it needs to be located in the right place. And
So there is progress being made for the homeless in here.
It's worked on all the time by the county with us. I mean, it's not 29 Palms; it's everywhere.
Yeah. I spoke with Supervisor Rao about that, and the Sheriff's Department, and the Public Defender, and the DA are leaning over backwards to try to help make the homeless employable. You know, if you've got a misdemeanor on your record from years and years ago, they will work with you to take it off your record. If it's an employment problem, they'll work with you on giving you training for that. So the help is out there. Unfortunately, a lot of the homeless don't necessarily want the help. That's a lifestyle that they've embraced.
It seems that way, but you never know. I mean, that's what the Navigational Center, if it ever got established, it's a place where they could have some classes, have showers, learn some things, get their self back straight. You never know what causes this.
Now, if you're listening and want to do something yourself to help the homeless, the county is sponsoring something, a point in time count. And it's in January. I think it's
25th.
Yeah. And they need volunteers.
Each city.
Yeah. So who's taking the lead on that? Is it Morongo Basin Arch in 29 Palms?
It is, and they can contact Astrid, or our code enforcement is also going to be manning the headquarters will be in the Project Phoenix Gymnasium, or the Freedom Plaza Gymnasium.
And just so people know what I'm talking about, the point in time count is done each year. Volunteers are spread out in their different areas, and they do a count of the homeless people, actually physical count. There are some records. They also give them food and sleeping bags and jackets, and I've been out on one of those counts. It's pretty amazing what they do. Then they bring all those numbers back, and the county uses those numbers to allocate funding. There'll be federal funding to deal with homeless, but in order to allocate that funding, they need a count of where that funding is going to go. So, for example, they come back with 100 homeless in Yucca Valley and 50 homeless in 29 Palms, then the more funding is going to go to where the more need is. So the point in time count is actually pretty important.
It is, Gary. It's very important. Yeah, I really can't stress that enough, how important it is to count and to get an accurate count. So if you're interested in volunteering, please volunteer.
Now, what should they call the county office to volunteer? Is there a point of contact?
Morongo Basin Arch or city code enforcement will also take their name if they want to volunteer. And one of the things that's kind of tough is the homeless know when this count is coming, and they don't all want to be counted.
Right.
So you have to, if we find encampments and things like that, and we can't send code enforcement people out in the code enforcement truck because they don't want to talk to them. So that's why we send people out in regular vehicles.
Yes, and it's mostly volunteers.
Mostly volunteers.
Some supervision. So Morongo Basin Arch, Google it, you'll be able to get a hold of them.
Yes.
So if you really want to help the homeless, yes, it's nice on occasion to go to the park and hang out an old jacket, but this is the grassroots. This is getting funding for basic needs.
Yes.
So we're going to take a quick little break. We'll be back with more of the Z1077 Up Close Show. Our guest in the studio today, Mayor MacArthur Wright, and Interim City Manager Larry Bowden from the City of 29 Palms. I'm Gary Dignot, your host. Our producer is Michelle Alley. And more Up Close coming your way after these brief messages.
Sue's Health Food, committed to your good health.
This is Cody Joseph from The Morning Show with Cody and Jeff. Sue's Health Foods is a regular stop for me. I can get staples there that I can't find at the grocery store. Everything from booch to nooch, as Jeff likes to say. Cashews in bulk, miso paste, local honey, and sweet treats for my kids. They really like the fruit chews from the bulk bins. The bulk bins are probably our favorite part of the store, and the employees are always so friendly and helpful. We couldn't make half the recipes we love without the ingredients we get from Sue's. My family has been shopping there for years, and the quality and care we have gotten has always been top-notch. I love going there, and I love supporting a local business that has given so much to our community for so many years.
Sue's Health Food, committed to your good health.
Share joy. Shop local. Z1077 has been exploring many of our small businesses and finding hidden treasures to share with you.
Discover Bruja Elixir, the Moronga Basin's only shop dedicated to tea, elixirs, and a carefully curated collection of adaptogens, hemp, fungi, and exotic herbs that are healing for our physical bodies and our spiritual selves. They also offer a variety of workshops meant to bring together the community and promote healing on a larger scale, plus spiritual services such as tea leaf readings, Reiki, and sound baths. For more information about their upcoming events, follow Bruja Elixir on Instagram.
The Joshua Tree Retreat Center, home of the largest collection of Lloyd Wright buildings in the country, a spectacular arts garden, and the Food for Thought Cafe, is also the home of Elemental Treasures, the artful bookstore. Their gift options include spiritual, wellness, and self-help books, artisan-crafted jewelry, vintage clothing, singing bowls, gems and crystals, greeting cards, artwork by local artists, and so much more. They have an assortment of treasures for under $20 that would make perfect holiday gifts. And mention that you heard about them on Z1077 to get 10% off your purchase.
It is 10:47, and we are back with the Z1077 Up Close Show with our guests in studio, Mayor MacArthur Wright and Interim City Manager Larry Bowden from the City of Twin Palms. Now, we were talking about priorities, and we talked about the animal shelter and some other priorities that the city wants to work on. But when I see a budget document from the City of Twin Palms, and yes, I actually read those, I see that the number one thing you're spending on is law enforcement. Has that been determined as the priority of your citizens, your residents want the law enforcement? And how does that work? Because we don't have our own police department.
No, we fall under the county, and yeah, it's a priority because citizens are concerned with safety. And so one of the things that we did to help that is instead of getting another deputy, we actually asked the sheriff department to give us another detective, because our one detective was getting backlogged as far as trying to solve crimes and stuff like that. And so now we have two, so hopefully that will give them an opportunity to solve a lot more crime. And then it also allows our actual deputies to stay out on the street where they need to be.
So every year you've got like a menu, X amount of sheriff, X amount of patrol, so you can determine if there's going to be extra patrols on Saturday or Friday, and then they come back with a price, and you look at that every year?
The detective that we added wasn't given to us.
No.
Yeah,
it
no.
It was an additional charge, but it did... The sheriff or the captain spoke with us, told us what it could do for us, and the council agreed that it would be a asset, so they put that extra money forward.
So legally, the city has a police department, and they contract with the sheriff's department to provide the service.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Does it work the same way with county fire? Is that a 29 Palms Fire Department, which is contracted out to the county? How does that work? What's that relationship?
Yeah, that's a Larry one right there.
That's a Larry one right there.
Well, it's different.
Yeah.
It is different. They get a lot of their funding from FP5, a real contentious point.
That'll be on the ballot again in March.
Again. Right.
Yeah.
So that's where they do that. They are in great contact with us. They communicate with us much like the sheriff's department does. So,
are there contingency plans if FP5 doesn't pass? I know that's a tough question. You may not know, but
we've been in communications with them, yeah, with the fire department, what they're going to do. They're not sure what they can do, but whatever happens with it. That it seems like the 29 Palms Fire Station will still be manned. I don't know what all the way they've worked it all out, and the state comes out that there's $68 billion in the hole. I don't know what's going to happen.
So the FP5 charge on our property tax bills in the city of 29 Palms goes to support fire protection in the city of 29 Palms.
Right.
And that is provided contractually by the county.
That is true.
Yeah.
Okay. 100%.
Yeah. And if you're just wondering what FP5 is, FP5 is a very controversial project which is approved by the county. A citizens group went back and said, wait a minute, the way you did this, it was a protest vote rather than yes or no, was unconstitutional. After, I think, 5 or 6 years and 5 or 6 lawsuits, the appellate court did agree they didn't do it right. So the county of San Bernardino had two choices: do away with FP5, which would have gutted the fire department, or put it back on the ballot so it is indeed approved by the people. So what they voted to do is put it on the ballot. So FP5 will be on the ballot, but this time it is a yes or no vote. It's not this sneaky little protest vote.
Votes are a little bit different.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of a protest vote.
No.
If the city of 29 Palms had all the funds it needed, okay, what would be the top three things you would do?
I
know we already talked about the animal shelter.
Yeah.
What would be the next thing?
I think the animal shelter, an actual sewer system, and I don't know what the third one would be. That was pretty good.
That's all right. There's a lot of them there. So the city of 29 Palms is also growing. What are the needs that you identified that you want to work toward? I mean, there's a housing element. People are saying we need more housing. I know the city's working on that. That is a need for more housing?
Right. We've actually been in communications with the Coachella Valley Housing Authority that if we get everything in line, they have a program where people help build the house, and they get a great mortgage rate on it. They have to be qualified and all this other stuff, but it's a way that people with a little lower income can actually get a very nice house.
And that's coming down the pipeline now you're working with them?
We are working with them right now. Councilmember Scott had experience with this. He actually, his family had one in Palm Springs. And they came up and spoke with us. They're very organized. They're doing hundreds of them in the Imperial Valley right now.
So between more of the vacation home rentals being put back on the market for single families and this project you're working with the Coachella Valley Housing Project, it seems that there is light at the end of the tunnel as far as available affordable housing in the city of 29 Palms.
If everything works right, we're working with another big company, Milestone, to put in some behind City Hall. But there's a lot of things in the way to make it happen, and the biggest thing is money. So the city knows there is a problem. We're trying to do this. We're looking for lots right now for the Coachella Valley Housing. They like 10 of them close by in a row. It's something that we could get moving quickly. We just have to procure those and sign contracts, and it goes from there.
All of that legal stuff.
All that legal
stuff. All those hoops that must be jumped through.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to take a quick little break. We'll come back with a final portion of the Z1077 Up Close Show. I'm Gary Dineau. Our producer is Michelle Alley, and our phone number is 760-366-8471.
A trip to the pharmacy should be easy. That's why so many people choose a local community pharmacy instead of a big chain, like Star Pharmacy in Joshua Tree. It's easy to get in and get out with your medications, and they offer one-on-one health-related advice. They get to know their customers and can help manage medications and check for any interactions. Star Pharmacy offers a wide range of over-the-counter supplements, plus durable medical equipment like walkers and wheelchairs. Star Pharmacy, Holly Road, across from the post office, Joshua Tree.
And we are back with the final portion of the Z1077 Up Close Show. I'm Gary Dineau. Our guest in studio today, Mayor MacArthur Wright and Interim City Manager Larry Bowden from the city of 29 Palms. And fastest hour in radio. Once again, gentlemen, we're almost out of time. But the last thing, if you had a magic wand, Mac, if you could just wave your wand and do anything for the city, what would it be? And not necessarily public works or a lot. I mean, what would you like? What would MacArthur Wright like to do with his magic wand for the city?
A magic wand for the city. One of the things I would like would be us to have all the money that we need to do everything we need to do for the citizens.
Lara, if you had a magic wand and could make anything happen to the city of Torrent Pines, what would it be?
I would truly like to see a solution to the help homelessness, seriously.
Okay. One thing I want to say, because we're running out of time real quick, is I have to do a huge pat on the back to your remarkable park and rec department. They really do a good job. You know, both of my kids were raised in Torrent Palms, and I remember every weekend was soccer and Little League and basketball and all this stuff, which is all either put on by or supported by the City Park and Recreation Department. So a big pat on the back to Carrie and her crew, which really showed at the Freedom Plaza Christmas tree lighting event. They were on it.
And I would say Carrie would be the first to admit you need to include the road department and the park maintenance people.
The whole team is working for
it. It is a team.
Yeah. All right. Matt, Larry, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'll be back next week with more Up Close. Until then, thanks for listening, drive carefully, and God bless. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Up Close, a weekly talk and interview program presented in the public interest by Z1077 News. Join Gary Denyeau again next Friday at 10 for more Up Close.